Okay, good morning, everybody. We're on the bottom of page Sadi Gimel, and the Rebbe a very powerful shir last Friday, where he spoke about how one can work on getting rid of one's character flaws by focusing on them during the times where he is beyond himself and can objectively look down upon himself. Then he gives us some practical tools, and he deals with a practical tool with anger, how one can stop one's anger, or at least work on it a bit, in terms of thinking of words of Torah. So he moves down, we're at towards the bottom of Tzadi Gimel, about six lines from the bottom of the page. If you want, we got an extra copy there. You can, it's the red copy over there. You can just look on over there, Mark. So six lines from the bottom on page Tzadi Gimel. Bichlal, in general, Yeshli his einain, we have what to lament over. Al Shaba Itim Halalu, in these days, Kinu Esakas, they have attributed and given anger a different nickname. They've covered it up. And instead of using the term anger, they call it Bishem Chulshas Ho'atzabim, which he gives you in Yiddish afterwards, nerveish, mu'utzban, nerves. They just call it nerves. Instead of it being called anger, it's called nerves. I got nerves, you know, which is the classic cop-out, meaning it's not my fault. I don't have a bad characteristic trait of anger. It's that I'm a nervous person, right? And I'm stressed out. Now, if he lived now, he'd call it stress, right? So, and what happens is, ubishvil zem, because of that, mis chameik kvar ha'ish levato es ras midazu. The fellow resigns from being able to nullify the evil trait that exists within himself. Lomar excusing himself by saying, chulsha sagufi, it's a physical ailment. V'lo mida rohi asher bo tluya, and it's not a bad character trait, which depends on me. Okay, so we look for medical excuses for our own spiritual faults that exist. Okay, so if this existed almost 100 years ago, you can imagine how much more we have to deal with that issue today. That every shortcoming of man is called a condition, and it's not called man's fault. So, and now the Rebbe is going to show you why this is such a false argument. Why this is such a false argument? You know, people yell and scream. People say, "Listen, what can I do? I'm a nervous type, so there's nothing I can do about that, right? I'm all stressed out." So he says, "Hein emes shegeru yo'atzabim ma'aris akas." I will agree that an overstimulation of nervousness will arouse anger. I'm not going to argue that that is the step that leads to the anger. If you're looking for the mechanics of it, yes, nervousness brings anger. I've only explained it, but if we think about it for a minute, moving on to the next page. Lama ze be'ene Yehudi. How is it when we deal with a non-Jew, for example? Keshemizgore kaso. When his anger gets incited on me over somebody, when a non-Jew gets angry, muchan af l'rotzcha nefesh, he's ready to kill the guy. Right? You took my parking spot in L.A., you shoot him. That's all. Right? That's not unusual. You take someone's parking spot, they'll kill you for it. That's it. You got me angry. You know, it's... right? Ma she'enken a Yehudi. But when a Jew gets angry, af pechusa erech yakeo. Okay, so the lowest Jew, without Torah, without anything, the lowest Jew, what'll he do? Okay, maybe he'll hit the guy. He's gonna kill the guy. Vayoser nalo, and someone's a little bit better Jew, lo yarug af lo yak, he won't kill, he won't even hit the guy. El rak yiktsof yicharev islosai, he's just gonna get angry. He'll curse him out. Right? But you don't see an average Jew even hitting anybody if they're upset with them. Right? But this sickness of nervousness should be equal to all of them. Don't you think they're all the same nervous? But you see, they all don't do the same low activities, evil activities, when they're angry. So you take a goy, a very, very simple Jew, and an average Jew, they can be equally as nervous. The situation can equally upset them. Right? You have all three of them, and someone took their parking space. So the goy shoots the guy. The low-level Jew goes over and smacks him, and the average Jew curses him out. So why is there a difference? Why is there a difference? They're all the same nervousness. So if nervousness is the cause, so why don't we get the same result? Okay, why are there differences in results? Right, that's his question. So he answers, he first uses another example, then he comes back to this to give the example. Hadavar hu pashut, but rather this is a very obvious thing. Isha er, a person who's awake, yachol lahagbil es nafsho af lizman shnaso. He's able to restrain himself even when he's sleeping. What does that mean? How can he be awake and sleeping? We'll see. When a person rolls in his sleep. Anybody here in this room roll in bed when you're sleeping? When you're sleeping? Right? Every night. I start on one side. I find myself on the other side. Every time. Right? But what doesn't happen? So you'd figure, so when you're sleeping, you're coming to the edge of the bed, you should fall off. Right? When was the last time you fell out of bed? Right? But lo yiskal galachutzarza, you never roll out of bed and hit the ground. Right? When you get to the end, you quickly, you turn and roll to the other side of the bed, to the middle of the bed. Lo yipal, you don't fall. Isn't that an odd thing? Have doctors figured out the reason for this? Is there a logic to this? Right? Isn't that an interesting curiosity? Why people, you should not. Now what you will notice, with a 2-year-old, they will roll out of the bed. That's why you put those guards by the bed. Right? And you'll see why. He's not going to talk about that, but you'll see why the logic is. But why is it we don't fall out of bed? Right? Ap shiyoshin hu, even though he's asleep, Vembo das bishozo, he has no intelligence that's working at this time. He's not cognitively functioning. But avoldata hakvua benafsho bishoshu air, but the intellect that is so set in his soul when he's awake, it is so clear to him when he is awake, there's no such thing as falling out of a bed. When you're awake, do you ever want to fall out of bed? When you're lying in bed while you're awake, you're telling yourself, I will not fall out of this bed. That's the last thing I want to do. I'll break an arm. It's unthinkable to roll out of a bed. Right? That's clear. When you're awake, that's unthinkable to do that. Right? So he says, so that strong intellect that is so powerfully working when you're awake, it restrains him even now when he's lacking that being awake. Because the powerful understanding the human being has transcends times of when the intellect works. It's so ingrained in your mind. There's no such thing as rolling out of bed. It's unthinkable. So even when you can't think, you don't do it. Now you see, that's why kids do roll out of beds, because it hasn't been ingrained in their minds yet. Little kids, they're jumping off of roofs. They're doing all kinds of things. They're rolling mud. they jump off their beds. It's dafke the kids. They're jumping on their beds, jumping off the beds. The bed is a springboard for them. The parents are yelling at them, stop jumping. But the kids want to jump. Hey, it's a lot of fun. So they haven't yet haven't gotten that idea, and certainly it hasn't been developed over years, that you gotta stay in bed. If anything, they're always running out of bed, climbing out of the crib. They don't want to feel locked into that bed. When you're in bed, you want to stay in bed. So that's why they haven't developed that idea. Isn't that an interesting idea? Isn't that interesting? So now, if that's the case, went to a simple idea of rolling out of bed, which you have totally zero control over yourself, and still you're not going to roll out of bed. Because your intellect is so powerful when you're awake, it's unheard of to roll out of a bed. And that just spills over into your mind when you're not thinking and can control you. So now he plugs back into anger now. And this is the way it is with everything. And here's the golden rule. Hadeya v'amachshava hakfuas ba'ish tamid. The ideas and philosophies and thoughts that are constantly set in a human being's psyche, something that is so powerfully true in your mind, b'kochan lahagbil es kol etzem ha'ish, it has its power to restrain the essence of a person, gam al shah shechaser lo daito, even at the moment when he's lacking intelligence. Very, very big rule. Very big rule. So therefore, in other words, whatever you really hold of, you really believe in it, you believe in it strongly, and consistently you believe in it, those beliefs will never leave you when it comes to the world of action, even when you're not in control of your mind. Because it's so powerful in your mind. You know, they remember Rabbi Taub once told Adam Gottel the... can't remember. North American Gottel. Just forget the names passing by. I don't remember the details, just remember the point. And there were two issues when he was a Rav that he was fighting against in America. This was in the 50s, 60s. Imamish was fighting them. It was a big battle then. So anyways, this Rav, as he got older, developed... Parkinson's, dementia, whatever. He lost his mind. You know, he got old, lost his mind. And all the time, all he said was those two lines for those two mitzvahs that he always focused on people having to do. I remember the two mitzvahs. I remember the name of the mitzvah. I remember that concept of the story. Even when he lost his mind, but those two things that was like the key things that he was like the lone vanguard in this area. He's just, when he walked by him, you know, even though he, those things he just said over and over and over, because that was his life. See, when you lose your mind, you still have those ideas. So the same thing over here. Bisrael b'deya nemucha, a Jew, even with a lower intellect, still magbal toshlo hayarok, he restrains, he doesn't kill. The lowest Jew doesn't kill. It's just unthinkable for a Jew to kill, right? Avim yichas v'yizgoratz above, even though you get him angry and his nerves get inflamed and incite him, he can get as angry as anything. He's really angry, but there's no sense. It's just not in my repertoire. It's not in my thought processes. Never kill a person. It's unthinkable to kill a person. Yid has respect for life. If a person works on himself a little more, he's a little more refined, he's a better person, he never hits a person. It's just not, I just don't do it. It's so terrible. I've always understood you don't hit. That's the way I live by not hitting. So all of a sudden you get so angry, but if it's not in the arsenal, it doesn't happen. And if you continue to think more and accept upon yourself that you just don't get angry, that you just don't get angry. It's like killing, right? If we really understood the Chazal says, Kol ha-koes, ki'ilu ovid avodah zarah. Anyone who gets angry, it's as if he worships an idol. Right? Yeah, Gemara says, you know, if you get angry and you break something in your anger, you break a plate. You're angry, except at a tanoim, right? You break a plate. I know, don't say what you're thinking. It's the two mother-in-laws who break the plate. Maybe they knew after all the frustration, they have to give them a leniency, how to vent out in a kosher way what could be bothering them. Anyway, but both mother-in-laws together, like sometimes you're imagining in your mind what they could do if they weren't only restrained to breaking the plate. Anyway, but it's so clear. If you understood that getting angry is like, now if I ask anyone in this room, okay, anyone in this room here, we got the Quran here, and we got a Muslim who's got a very, very sharp machete, and he says, now believe in the Quran or we chop your head off. Right? Anybody? Say, where it is. There it is. For a second. Go, you know, go Christmas Carol under threat of death. Wouldn't do it. I can't do it. I can't. It's not me. Since I've been a kid, I can't do it. I can't give up my religion. Right? But Chazal saying, but he gets angry. It's like you worship idols. So all of a sudden you can get angry. So what's the answer? We just isn't getting into our minds yet. You review it every day. Kol hakayis kilo avodah zara. Anyone gets angry, it's like you worship idols, right? And think of the last time you got angry, and say to yourself, you know what that meant? That meant I went and sang Christmas carols, and I drag eggnog under the mistletoe. Face what they do, right? Don't do it. I bow down to a tree. You know, that's my. If you would visualize it. That's what anger is. Every day, this is what. Every morning, spend 2 minutes visualizing what. You'd never get angry. How could you get angry? Does it make sense? Hello? Does it make sense? But we don't do it. Yeah, everybody gets angry. Your parents get angry. You were a kid, they yelled and got angry. You watched that. So that you never saw your parents worship an idol. You see, you never saw your brothers and sisters worship an idol. But your parents probably yelled, and your sisters yelled, and your brothers yelled. It was yelling and screaming. And you see religious Jews get angry and scream. Go to shul, the guy doesn't get aliyah. He screams and yells, but he never would worship an idol. Right? So then it's okay. It's not on the radar that it's unthinkable. Right? But if we would realize what it is, it would become unthinkable. It's unthinkable. So no matter how stressed you are, how nervous you're getting, right? The person's but you're not gonna show your anger. It's just not possible to show the anger, because that's an unthinkable. Right? That's what he's saying. If he thinks more and more and more how he can't get angry, even though he has this nervousness and his control is weak, and at that moment we know you could lose your das. At that moment you're losing control. You are losing control. So there's nothing to control you. But still, what can you do? At this moment you're not in control. But what's unthinkable? Getting angry is unthinkable. But that intellect that is permanently etched into him, tag viloso, will restrain him, shigamlo yiktsof lo yecharev afbis arakaso, and that he won't even get angry, he won't even curse out, even when the anger gets aroused. Alright, so that's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable thing, that a person is able, if this is really an important thing and you've really focused it and drilled it into your mind, that this is just something I cannot do. It's just impossible to do. Then you just can't do it anymore. It's just, you can't. You know, if you're used to getting up every day at 5:45 for 10 years, it's just unthinkable you're going to get up after 5:45. Just can't. You don't need an alarm clock anymore. That's why you don't need it. You don't need an alarm clock. You're getting up always before the alarm clock. Not that it's the Yetzer to go back to sleep. That's a different Yetzer. But it's just not true. Like, I can't physically sleep till 9:00. It's just impossible. It's not even a test anymore. I can't do it. So it's just not there. Not that I'm a tzaddik. I've just done it for so many years. It's just not in the radar screen. I'm asleep. No matter how late you go to sleep, right? You can go to sleep at 2:00 in the morning, 3:00 in the morning, at 5:45, you're up. That's the way it is. So that's what's critical. If that's totally in your mindset, that there's no way those things are ever going to change in your life. So this could be with any characteristic. So what are you going to give me excuse? It's my nerves. Something to do with your nerves. It's what you really are, what you really want, what you've dedicated your life to work on. This is an unthinkable thing. I'm never ever going to do such a thing. So let's say right now you still do get angry. So you got to say, okay, this is my goal for this year, is that I'm going to develop a new philosophy of life, that part of my essence is I don't get angry. Finished. And you got to keep working on it. Even the Chafetz Chaim had to keep working on it, right? Chafetz Chaim, they tell stories that if people were really getting upset, and he was in the middle of he was getting a little heated, he would go to the side, excuse me, and he would talk to himself and says, you're not allowed to get angry, you're not allowed to get angry. Yisrael Meir, don't get angry. Yisrael Meir, don't get angry. Yisrael Meir, don't get angry. Keep saying it to himself, and until he got back in it and wouldn't even, you can imagine what that is for the Chafetz Chaim. You know, the Chafetz Chaim, you don't think had a temper like me and you when he was young? The same temper. He worked on it. He worked on it because he knew how terrible it was. So he had to work on it till it was no longer part of what he's thinking about in life. Right? So this is really any aspect of your life, right? And that's even when, you know, the whole idea, you know, whenever a person sins, it's only when he has a ruach shtus, a spirit of foolishness gets over him. That's what Chazal tells us. Because normally, if your mind is working, how could you ever sin? How could you ever sin? If you're really thinking, you wouldn't sin. But your ruach shtus, a spirit of frivolity has come over you. Ah, what the heck? We'll do it for the fun of it, right? And you do it, and then later you regret, right? So if a person has certain ideology so etched in his mind, there's no such thing as like for the heck of it. Because even when I'm at a point where my mind isn't there, but still my overriding philosophy is there and doesn't get out, right? So this is really the deep yesod in the mystery of Purim, right? As we've told you in the past. Again, you got to start thinking of Purim already, right? When it's Hanukkah, Purim's not far away. Less than 3 months. We don't have a place booked for a Purim party yet, so we got to work on it. So that's what I'm thinking about. Hanukkah, I'm thinking Purim. So on Purim, what's the whole idea of Purim? That we know the Zohar says that Purim is greater than Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippurim, that the day of the 10th of Tishrei is a day like Purim. It means Purim's on a higher level than Yom Kippur. So what's the answer? The answer is mamish this. The answer is this. That what do you do on Purim? And it's bedafka. Why is it bedafka mitzvah to get drunk on Purim? Bedafka to mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. Because what happens when you get drunk, that's when you lose your das. When you lose your intellect. The controls are gone. You've downed a bottle of wine. Right? And the head's not, there's no controls in there anymore. What's gonna come out? Exactly what you are. Exactly what you are. So now we're gonna see what are the overriding principles you've etched into your neshama. We're gonna see exactly what's there. So maybe 30 years ago, if you got drunk, you would have walked out of the party with another woman. Place. Or you start cursing and yelling at people, right? So that's the difference. What you're going to see this Saturday night, when society dedicates itself to getting drunk, right? I mean, they've probably dedicated themselves since last Saturday night already. But the Mamish day, and what happens? What happens? You know, you have all these murders, all these things, fights, this, that one, all the immorality that goes on. You know, because just lose it, right? But on Purim, what do you see? What do you see? People make up. People who are fighting with each other, they make up. They're friends again. They're dancing. They're singing Hashem's praises. They're saying how much they love Hashem. Maybe even a whole year long, you can't even say how much you love Hashem, but really you do, but you're embarrassed to say it. And so it's the real Jew that's deep inside of the Yid comes out on Purim. On Yom Kippur, you know, also the real Jew, but you never know. Because on Yom Kippur, you got the guillotine over your neck. So you're so scared to death, you know. Or better yet, you know, we'll say more favorably, that you know, the conditions are optimal track conditions. So, come on, you have to be a schmo not to want to feel religious on Yom Kippur. But there's no test on Yom Kippur. That's easy. Everything's tailor-made to make you feel that way. Yom Kippur, it's the opposite. It's Mamash Shabbat. We do everything to take your brains away. Now let's see what you're like. And you're still a guy. You daven. You got up in the morning after Purim. You were there. You were there at 7 o'clock for Minyan. And even after, you know, you made sure to daven Mincha. You daven Mincha with Kavana. And you did. And you're busy doing what? All day long doing mitzvahs. Right? In a drunken state. You're doing mitzvahs the whole time, day long. And you're in total control. That shows the emissary Yid that you are. That's the deep truth that we're meant to be. And on Purim, that's supposed to bring itself out. That's if you're on that level. If you're far, far, far from that level, and you're the Jew and you get angry when you're not in control, you hit people, then it's taka, not a mitzvah to drink. It's not, it's only a mitzvah for people on a madrega. You have to be on a level to drink. So gedolim drank, people that are, that try hard to be great, drink. But if you're a low life, if you're a Jew who's a low Jew, it's not a recommended practice. You know, you see a lot of these young fellows that they're just vomiting all over the place, the whole Purim. Yeah, they come to your house. I had one year, this kid comes to our house. We had a big Purim party. Kid in our house, he goes to the washroom, he just vomits all over the place. That was his Purim present for us. So he was so sick and drunk as a skunk, he couldn't clean himself up. And, you know, so that taka shows where that guy was. No, that's where that guy was. He's not in control. So you gotta be careful. But clearly this is what the Rebbe's saying over here. So there's no such thing to excuse yourself. I have this condition that doesn't allow me to do this. I'm like this by nature. You can have overriding natures that you cultivate within yourself that can make you reach the greatest levels possible. And a person can say, there's no such thing as getting angry anymore. It's anathema to my existence. Yes?
Is this the same idea as
Yeah, making it spiritually instinctive. It's spiritually instinctive. You just cannot bring yourself to do certain things. Or the opposite, you always have to do certain things. Right? And that, you know, a Baal Tshuva sees this as they go through different times in life. Things that you love to do, they just aren't exciting anymore. While your friends are still doing it. Like, there are still adults that play these PlayStation games and like very, it's like you look at it, it's like you're a baby. You're just a baby. How could you do that? You know, from the place where you're at, I say, well, how can you waste your time? It's ridiculous. You're wasting your life. So when you weren't from, your life wasn't that important, so you wasted it. But when you realize that your time is precious, the last thing you want to do is to waste your time. You would never do such a thing, right? So even when you're not in the biggest control, and you're going, you know, everybody has their dips when, you know, you're feeling a little bit low, you're not always so high, but certain things you just don't do. So you can't miss davening. Guy who hasn't missed davening for 5 years, he's gonna not daven one day. It's just, I can't not daven. Okay, maybe not gonna have the biggest kavana, but I'm still gonna daven. It's unheard of. I'm not gonna buy a tefillin today. It's unheard of. I'm not going to put on tefillin today. I'm not going to light candles Friday night before Shabbos. It's unheard of. If you didn't, you'd feel terrible. So over life, we cultivate all these principles that we live by, that we just have to either do this or we would never do these things. And that's really a goal. We should make short-term goals or long-term goals. Develop a new thing that you just mamish can't do this anymore. And there's enough chazal for whatever character trait you're working on, there's enough chazal, statements of the rabbis, to tell us to use those tools to bring us to that idea. Okay? I think it's a very powerful point. Very powerful point. Okay, good. No questions? Yes? Remember, you missed the first part, so you're coming in late over here.
What I'm saying is that being angry is something that they're always saying that you're born with it.
Okay, so listen to the first 20 minutes of the tape. Listen to the first 20 minutes of the tape, and we discuss that. All right? You can borrow it right afterwards. Okay, let's move on. Bottom of Tzadi Dalad. V'imyesh, let me give another example. V'imyesh, b'kir b'chassina k'fusha al ech. Okay, so now he's going to a different concept here. Practical tools of how to deal with situations. V'imyesh, b'kir b'chassina k'fusha al echad mechavercha. V'rotzata lasira b'lo tuchal. Let's say you have a deep-seated anger towards someone, and you really would like to get rid of that, but you can't. The person's hurt you in a very terrible way, and you can't get rid of that anger from that person. And we know, bishvil sinascha osok varo ata olav chesron eschatoim. And you know, because you're angry, you hate that guy, you're always looking at his faults. Whatever he does can never be good. So, haser kascha melibcha, get rid of the anger. Then you'll see if he really has more faults than you do. If you can get rid of that anger. Ah, next page, 38. Aval kamer, like we said, writes that alitcha says sinas chabaliv chabalotucha. You want to get rid of that hatred for that fellow, but you can't. You just can't. So here's the solution. The Rebbe says, and this is a good Shalom Bayis solution. Right, we're going to merge the classes, right? At 7 o'clock, we switch gears, right? So your wife does something, your husband does something, your spouse does something, it really ticks you off. You're really angry. You're really upset. You're blowing your lid. And you're going to let him have it. This is the fourth time this week that person's been late picking you up from the subway. And you've been soaked for 4 days in a row. And like, this is unexcusable, right? You're ready to blow. So what do you do when you're ready to blow? Try this. Ksov elav michtav. Write them a letter. Lo tishlacheu. Don't send it. Rak timneu b'tzalachtecha. Hide it on your plate. Keep it close to the vest. Uvo tizalzehu kechol asher shoyev hanochesh hakoyes asher belibcha. And then let denigrate him to the top. To as much as the snake of anger is drawing it into your heart. Let him have it. No holes barred. You are the most disgusting, repulsive person I ever met in my life. You don't care about me. Let it all, full, the ganze Sach. Don't hold anything back. I guess don't use four-letter words, but beyond that, don't hold it back. And then for a few days, read the letter with your mouth. And envision and picture. You're standing right in front of that person. And you're cursing the person out with these curses. Right? Vision. Write it all down in the huff of anger. Write it down. Say it. Visualize. Maybe have a picture of the person in front of you. And say everything right to them. And scream and yell. Whatever you want to say. After a few days, betach, it's guaranteed, yosser kascha melib chalov, your anger is going to go away from that person. Vimbal nefesh ata, and if you're really a person of some substance, o tarutz lefais, you're going to run to appease that person. You're going to make up with that person. That's what he's saying. Now, al tetama latzasei nuzu, don't wonder on this little piece of advice we've given you. Below Tomer, and don't say disparagingly about what I've just said. It's got to be one of two things what the Rebbe's saying. Oh, Sheker, either the Rebbe's lying to me, or maybe it's acts of magic or sorcery. But it's not possible. In other words, it's not possible. V'chiev Sherkein, and if that was possible, Shekasher Echtov Michtov Acharveyu V'odek Reino, if I'm going to write a letter and curse the guy out and keep reading it, Esratzalo, am I going to be make up with the guy and I'm even going to appease him? That's not possible. That's crazy. It's not possible. You think that's possible? It's crazy advice. See, I know that's what you're thinking, says the Rebbe. She says, lo sheker, lo masalad, this is not lies, this isn't sorcery. Rakchok, kanefeshi, these are the laws of the soul. This is the way a soul operates. Why? Shekasher mechorif umagadif ha'ish esonav. Once a person curses out his enemy and really lets him have it, misrageya ma'at kaso me'olov, the anger already begins to calm down a little bit. Really, that's what happens. Once, because it's like it's building up. It's building up. So once you take the kettle off, take the lid off the kettle, and you blow, the hurricane came out. So already the anger goes down a drop. Ah, you're going to see that's not so. You see people get into big fights and gets worse and worse and worse. He's like, but when his friend answers him back, the anger gets more. Because he goads you on more. So he gives another round. That's when there's normally a fight between two people. It escalates and escalates and escalates till somebody stomps out and slams the door. Right? Or punches them or kills them or whatever, effectively ending the argument. And you though, shekasafta michtov, it should be michtov, not michtov. Michtov charif, Lefimida sinosa agadoyla. But you who wrote a letter, a sharp one, matching the attribute of hatred that you have at this point. Vekarasa bobebicha, and you read it with your mouth. Vitvatizalzaleu, and you denigrated him. So you've let it out. So yishkut ma'at kascha bechorefcha oso. A little bit of the anger got silenced as you cursed him out. A little bit. Now you're going to read it again on day two. Asher kfar niskaten kascha. Now on day two, your anger is already less than it was when you wrote. On Sunday, you were really angry. You're saying this, you know. But once it's out, it already went down a degree. So now the next day you're looking at it, you know, you woke up in the morning, you're not at that same anger. You're for sure not at this. A day later, right? The whole idea, you know, the rabbis say, if you're angry, sleep on your anger. Right, exactly. Very important rule. The next day, right, you know, you're still mad at him. We're not saying you're not mad at him, but the blood isn't boiling up to here. You don't feel your head pounding. It's I'm angry at him. It's not like, it's I'm angry at him. So now at that point of angry at him and you read it, now look what you're doing now. You are now on a level less than you were yesterday, right? Now you're going to read something you wrote on the level higher. So you're already in a more sane, slightly more sane position to read the insanity you wrote yesterday. And now you can reflect on what kind of meshugner you were a little bit. Do you understand? It's a different you who's reading what you wrote yesterday. Remember yesterday, you were so angry, you were Oved Avodah Zorah almost, right? You had such a ruach shtus, such insanity was in you. There were no controls almost. The only control was that you wrote the letter, Baruch Hashem. Right? So now, the next day you already come down, you're a different person. Just like we said earlier, the only way to cure a fault is to go beyond yourself. Remember to go by, go rise spiritually during prayer. Now you see where you're at, right? So it's similar, just the other way around. In other words, your anger was so high, now go below your anger, so to speak, which really makes you higher than your anger. But that's the same, technique. In other words, the Rebbe's teach you how to create a technique, even, just like he said before, in spirituality, this technique's be higher and higher and be holier and get closer to Hashem. And that's a technique to put you higher than where you are. So now, what are you going to do when it's the opposite? Your mamish, the lowest of the low. So what are you going to do? It's the same logic. Create a technique to elevate yourself. How do I elevate myself? I'm a bum right now. I'm lost control. It says, just write the letter. Let's, just like we wanted to lock that Kodak moment right after Kedusha, of Kadosh, Kadosh, and at that point you think, you know, I should never be angry. I'm a holy Jew. How could everything, this isn't the Ratzon Hashem. I'm better than this. That's the beautiful, positive way to do it. But if you're really gone down to the point where your anger's blowing, so now you've got to artificially create a situation that will allow yourself to prop yourself over the situation later. So when you wrote that letter, you've now, not, instead of locking in the high spiritual moment after Kedusha, you've locked in that lowest of low moments. So you've locked it in. See, when we guys start yelling at people, we don't even remember the words we said a couple days later. You get into a real barn burner fight with your spouse, right? Really, you love your spouse, but you get into a barn burner. You say things, this, that, everything. A week later, you don't even remember what you said. You don't remember what you said, right?
They do.
Nah, you don't remember. They do, right? They do. You know, I love you. Okay, so I got a little bit upset. A little bit upset. Right? You don't remember. You don't lock in the anger. You know. So write it when you're at the height of your anger. Create the Kodak moment of the lowest person you could be. Right? Now the next day you start to read what you wrote. You know, you'd be surprised because I said that. I wrote, what kind of a bum was I? Look what anger can do to a person. Unbelievable. I said such words. I wrote such things. Remember, you weren't in control then. But on day two, when you're in a little bit more control, right? Let's, where am I up to now? Asher kfar niskat in kascha. Your anger's a little bit less. And now, also, you're insulting him and reading what you wrote according to your anger of yesterday. Yesterday's anger was greater than it is today. Your heart alone will begin to rebuke you a little bit and to say, you're going to say, I curse this guy out so much. You can't read it with the same excitement and anger like you read it yesterday. You're not ready, not reading it the same way you read it yesterday. But you accept it upon yourself. Like, gross, I got to read that. That's part of the tool. Next page, I have to read it. That's the plan. I have to read it. And the whole anger isn't gone yet. So you push yourself, okay, I got to finish reading it. But it's already not the same way. It's not the same way. Now it's day three. That letter's out there still. The anger is already less on day three than it was on day two. You can't even read it anymore. You're already embarrassed. You are so regretting that revelation of your heart. To denigrate and to curse so much. I'm embarrassed. You're already looking for techniques and methods to be appeased and to appease him. Ish bal tuv halev, a person with really a good heart, yemar lo hispayes, he'll allow himself to quickly be appeased. And a guy who's still stubborn, okay, he's certainly cross upon me, he'll have to read it for a few more days. But by the end of the week, you're going to get tired of reading this. But with Hashem's help, everybody will be appeased at the end. Right? But only on very few occasions should you use this technique of writing the letter. And be very careful, don't lose it. And no one should ever see that letter, even your closest friends. Why? Because they're going to lose respect for you. Keep it. You know, you might want to lock it up in a box one day. I wouldn't burn it. If I would take a step further beyond the Rebbe, I'll take the liberty, put it in a safety deposit box, put it in a private place. Because the next time you get angry at somebody, read that letter.
Yeah.
No. Read it. When the anger is just building, it's getting there. You're not there yet, but you know. You always can tell you're beginning to lose. You know you're losing it, and in maybe another 10 seconds, you will have lost it. So at that point, take the letter out and read it. See, is this what I want to be? Is this what I want to be? No. It'll be a good tool. Not even gonna remember. But that letter will always remind you what kind of an idiot you were. Will always remind you what kind of an idiot you were. And you're going to say, do I want to be the same idiot again? Okay, or you write a letter again. You know, but you're not going to work so many times. People don't like to write. You know, you're going to get too angry. You're not going to want to bother to write. It'll work once in a while, he's saying. But he said, Kipen ivadach avercha, lest your friend finds out, mizeshikasafta, what he wrote. Your friend will find out. But yigdal kasalach, he's going to get angrier than you. If he ever reads what you wanted to write, he can get angrier than you. You know, this has become a tool that they use in the customer service industry. Customer service. You call up a phone, you call up MasterCard, you call up whatever. You say, customer service. I got this present. Yes, I understand, sir, why you're so upset. You know, what's the psychological terms you use? Empathy and all these things.
Psyche.
You know, yeah. And he said, yes, really sorry. And he talks for 20 minutes. Says, okay, sir, you know, I'm not really the real person in charge.
Yeah.
I'll connect you to Mr. So-and-so, who's the manager, whatever. Then the manager, but it's already one decibel less. I say, yes. Well, let me talk to you to our regional branch advisor. And they make you go about three, four levels. And by the time he's got to, well, you know, we're going to put you in contact with the president now, president of the company. What a place, you know? The owner. I mean, by the time you already spent it out three times, you say, you know, I really would. You know, then already you can talk to the guy. First guy, you can't even talk to. Like if you, and they'd say, don't answer, don't say, well, of course, Really, the answer is, you know, let's say, you know, I returned it after 7 years and they wouldn't give me a full refund.
Oh, no.
And he's really blowing over that. Well, we really have a policy, you know, after 30 days. You can't tell him that. The first guy says the policy, schmalsy. He's ready to punch out. You can't say anything. You say, yes, yes, I understand how upset you are. Keep talking, Buster. You know, let it all out. I'm the guy that my job is just let him say it to me. I don't take it seriously. I don't know you. I'm not your friend. I don't care. Just say it. Right? He moves it to Madrega Beis, Madrega Gimel. And every level, it peters out. Till already the person says, you know, I'm so tired of arguing already. Just what can you, I'm glad, thank you for listening to me. and that's how you've dealt with it. So that's the same idea. We have to deal with ourselves in that same way. So Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe, I think it's beautiful, beautiful age. So let's just finish the paragraph since I don't have to finish exactly at 7 o'clock. And there's nobody new coming to anyway at 7 o'clock who wasn't here before. So let's just finish the paragraph so we'll start with a new chapter tomorrow. Kamur, as we're saying, Tucha Lavakesh Lecha Eitzos Mamoshes B'chol Dover. Really, it's easy to find practical tips for anything. V'chein Lamoshel Im Oyved Atah, one more, Atah L'sakin Esmidas Ha'atzlus Bashena. If you're trying to work on the attribute of laziness with sleep, ki oyev atolish and harbe, you like to sleep a lot. Oh, shavarta bayomase yosher, or maybe today you worked a little bit harder than usual. Maybe you went to the club, chves, vinis yagata, and you're very tired. This is a very hard day. Today was particularly a hard day. Vitira, and you're afraid, as I see, and for many people, yesterday was a very hard day. Visira shita'acher lishain. And you're afraid you're going to sleep more tomorrow because you had such a hard day today. So what can you do to make sure you're going to get up? So I don't know if in the Rebbe's days they had alarm clocks. I don't know if in the 1920s they had alarm clocks. Maybe they do. I don't know. But I don't know why he didn't give that Eitzah. He's going to give a better Eitzah. Tuchel and Nasus, you can try this. Okay, you ready to try this? This is somebody who really wants to get up next morning. This will for sure work. Lo tishkaf ba'erech mitascha. Don't sleep by the length of the bed. Don't sleep normally. Rak barachba, sleep by the width of the bed. Now, that's assuming you have a single bed, not a queen size bed, because this won't work with a queen size bed. You have a regular double bed, right? So, what do you call it? Single, twin, chves, whatever they call it. You go on the other side, right? So your legs are hanging outside the bed.
Get a chair.
Okay. So now, there's a little bit more. What happens to your feet? Vesrakucha tismacha kisei. And then put a chair to the side of the bed, so your feet are resting on the end of your feet is on the chair, and your body's on the bed. Okay, and your head's right at the end of the bed, right? But the bottom of your body, your legs, they're on this chair. Okay, uvaboker in the morning, kisharak tisarer, when you just arouse, you open up your eyes, and you just had to go back to sleep. That's the problem, right? So when you just arouse, tidchav beraglech esakise, with your feet, push away the chair. So your legs fall down. You already find yourself standing on the ground. You push the chair away. Your feet are already on the ground. Right? So that's the trick. Unless it's going to hurt your physical condition. You're not going to be tired the whole day. You didn't have a good night's sleep. In other words, if you could sleep in that position, if being in that position isn't going to give you a restful night's sleep, then it doesn't help. You've defeated the purpose. But if it can, you should. Even then, you shouldn't do that more than a couple times a week. So, in other words, okay, this might not work for you, this one. There's more modern ways we can do this now. Now, the obvious way they always tell you is set the alarm blaring 10 feet from your bed. So you must get out of your bed to shut off that alarm.
Wife's not too happy about it.
Well, whatever. But that's guaranteed. I mean, that's guaranteed. If it's in the summertime, first of all, you open the blinds before you go to bed. So by 5 o'clock, the sun's already shining into your bed. You put the alarm beyond where you can walk, beyond where you can turn it off. Blaring Shane Kamohu, like unbelievable. You know, like with the worst music you hate. So you get it's static. It's guaranteed. It's no question. You'll get up the next morning. It's not a shayla, right? So there are ways to deal with this. So there's practical ways and there's spiritual methods to be able to do this. Okay, next tomorrow, what we'll talk about is how to resolve the contradiction between having a holy soul yet having bad midos.
Yeah.
How can a holy soul have bad midos? That's tomorrow's discussion.